Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Good morning. I'm sure most of you have read this story I'm going to preach from this morning. Many of you may have heard it preached on before today. Some of you may have heard me preach from this text. If you remember anything I ever said, thank you. I want to meet you afterwards because I'm grateful that you remember anything I might ever say. Most of us need to be reminded of things periodically, don't we? Anyway, I have that problem, Jack. I have a problem. I need to be reminded of things. Yesterday, I discovered how much I need to be reminded. I'm going to share a story with you. Is that okay? I'm going to anyway, of course, but I got up yesterday morning and I decided I wanted a boiled egg for breakfast. And it takes me, when I cook them right, I got to put the water on, put the egg in, let it come to a boil, then turn it off and let it set for 10 minutes. So it's 15 minutes before I can eat that dumb egg. And I get restless with that. So I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to nuke this dude. Oh, I see. I got some fellow travelers here this morning. Well, I cooked it quicker. I knew better. See, I'm a scientist. I'm a chemist. I was educated in chemistry and physics and math. And I worked for 12 or 15 or 18 years as a chemist. And I'm supposed to know better. But knowing better and doing better don't necessarily go together. Well, I'm going to share the rest of the story with you anyway. So I filled a cup with water, and I put the egg in, and I put a piece of plastic over it, you know, nice and I punched a little hole in that so the gas could escape, you know. And I put it on. I turned it on. I said, I'll just heat it for 5 minutes. That way nothing will happen. You guys are going to ruin my story. At 4 minutes and 50 seconds, I said, yeah, it worked. And I put my hand up by the thing on the door, and I began to count down. You count down with me, will you? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, blowy! I blew that egg in a zillion pieces. One good thing about it, I didn't have it on my face, at least. So, you know what I did? I cleaned that microwave for 20 minutes. It had egg in the fan, egg on the door, egg on the side. Didn't look too bad with yellow paint along the side, you know. That's egg yellow paint. Well, I put another egg in the pan, put it on the burner, let it wait till it got it boiling. Turned it off, waited 10 minutes, and took my egg off. And so 45 minutes later, I ate my egg. Now, that's what you call smart. I think that goes with my sermon this morning. I sincerely hope it does. Sometimes, you know, I think things turn lights on for us. The story I'm going to talk about this morning is one you've heard, Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 24. So familiar that you probably can tell me what's going to happen as I read. Jesus had been healing and been performing miracles, and he's going, he crossed into a boat, he went in the boat and crossed over the lake. A great multitude followed him, and here he is, mobbed by people. People are everywhere, all around him, swirling around him like water in a whirlpool. And he is very calm and very collected. And the Bible says a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years. You already know the story. Had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, if I just touch his garments, I'll get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garment?" 3,000-4,000 people, and you want to know who touched your garment? Who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see a woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had taken place, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Lord, bless what's said now. Bless it to the spirits and the mind and the body and the soul of people here, beginning with me, Lord, for we all need your healing and we all need your touch and we all need to know that when we make mistakes or when we do things that are out of character or when we, in the middle of anything we do, no matter what it is, you're always there and you're available. So bless this morning in Christ's name. Amen. There was a great need in that woman's life. You'll recognize that right off. Some of us and some of you have been sick for years, and other things have bothered you besides illness. And so there was a great need in her life. And it prompted her to look for a solution. She said, "I'm going to find the answer to this thing, and I've only got one left. I think I'm going to find Jesus." She was to the point of doing anything in an effort to be healed, to be whole, to get rid of this thing that bothered her. She had a physical need that she dealt with for a long time. It's not the kind of thing you talk about. So she had to bear that largely alone. You know, I preached one time, and in the middle of all that crowd, she touched Jesus. I preached one time in Ukraine. The first trip I went over there, and a lady in the crowd shook me up. In the middle of my sermon, Bernal, she had the audacity to get up and come forward and accept Christ. Who ever heard of that? I hadn't, but I sure was glad she came. And the interpreter said to me, the translator said to me, "I'm sorry, you don't have to hush for a minute." And I said, "Do you do this all the time in the middle of the sermon?" And the man said something I remembered very well. He said, "We let people come to Jesus whenever they want to. Whether it interrupts your sermon or whatever, we let people confess Christ." And so I was reminded of that when I read this story. She was desperate, and she wanted a healing touch, and she tried everything else. Now she would try Jesus. That's a pretty good formula, by the way. You don't need to wait that long, but if you waited that long, and you're present this morning, and you waited that long, and you haven't had the touch of Jesus on your life, you ought to do that today. That's my prayer, that someone here will accept Christ and will touch his garment and will be changed. That's my prayer today. You notice that she was the only one in all that crowd of people who was saved. She was the only one healed. Did you notice that? Only one it talks about. Thousands of people. Only one. Well, you know, some had needs in that crowd beside her, but they wouldn't bring them to Christ. That's like every crowd I've ever seen. They wouldn't admit it. Do you remember when you made the same decision to trust Christ? Hold your hand up if you do. Do you remember when you made a decision to trust Christ? I don't know about you, but I was the only person in the church where I made a profession of faith. I was the only one that day. And I think everybody else probably went home and said, ho-hum, another sermon. But I was the only person. She was the only one in that crowd who trusted Christ. I'll tell you how I felt that day. I felt like, oh, this is great. I've been going to church all my life, and I never did know this before. Wasn't it wrong with the church? It was wrong with Don. You understand that, I think. You know, you know what I'm talking about. So I would ask you what you need to do today. What you need to bring to him. Christians need to bring things to him, by the way. I don't know about you, but I've had some things in my life since I've been a Christian that threatened to destroy me. You ever have those? Or is that just goofy preachers who have those? Things that tore me to pieces. And I found out that the only thing that ever got me through that was that I had the touch of Jesus. That great David? The touch of Jesus on my life. There was one time I think I would have driven over the levee into the Mississippi River had it not been for the touch of Jesus. Things threatened my life. I despaired of living. But when he touched me, something happened. And this lady, when she touched him, boy, was she impacted. The Bible's full of that kind of example. So many people, Saul of Tarsus, on the way to kill more Christians, came across Jesus. Jesus touched him pretty hard, didn't he? And Saul was changed forever. I ask you the question this morning, are you struggling with something alone? Are you struggling with something in your heart and your mind? Now, most of us struggle with things we never tell people. Aren't you glad people don't know what goes on in your brain? Now, come on, everybody confess. I wouldn't want people to know what goes on in my brain sometime, would you? The Lord must be embarrassed by it sometime. Now, I don't know what you think preachers are, but I'll tell you about one preacher. I struggle with my humanity. I struggle with my faults. I struggle with my temptations. And I've discovered something, though, when you touch Jesus. It gets better. And I do that. Every Christian needs to learn that. Well, she touched Jesus, and her life was changed forever. Her physical needs were met, and her eternal salvation was settled right then and there. The Bible says you can have that same experience, and I can have that same experience. Now, that's a wonderful promise, that every one of us can have that same experience. Life can be different, no matter what the difficulty. No matter what it is. You know, we're always amazed that we think about God seeing us and knowing everything we said. I read a thing this last week in, what's the National Museum, somebody in Washington?
Smithsonian.
I take a Smithsonian magazine. Even though I put eggs in a microwave and blow them up, I still have some sense of chemical and scientific part of me. And so I was reading that the other day, and he said they are now able to see a nanomolecule. You know what a nanomolecule is? A nanomolecule, a molecule is something you can't see, but a nanomolecule is 1/10,000th of the size of a molecule. And they not only see those things, but they take those things and they structure them and they put them into a cancer. One little molecule and goes into that organ or that cancer and attacks in the one spot without bothering anything else. And you say God can't see everything? Dumb guy like us, I mean me. Sometimes I suspect you too, but That doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense. If man can do that, why question God's ability to do that? The Bible proclaims that that can happen to you today. And you, and you, and you. And me as a Christian. That it can happen. That when we're under, when things look like there's no way out, touch Jesus. Reach out to Him. Turn it over to Him. Ask His help. He won't turn you away. He will give you the strength. Sometimes He doesn't cure you. You remember a guy named Paul in the New Testament? Wasn't there a guy named Paul. Saul of Tarsus became Paul. And Paul getting weary of some kind of thing he had. Somebody says he had bad eyes. I don't know. But he sought the Lord and sought the Lord and sought the Lord and said, Lord, would you get rid of this thing for me? I got to be rid of this. And finally God said to Paul, Paul, my strength made perfect in your weakness. Trust me. That's a pretty good lesson. And so I would say to you today, that's a wonderful truth. The Bible proclaims that can happen to you today. It can happen to me. It doesn't matter if you're the only one, because Christ died for you and me. He died for us. What matters is allowing Jesus to touch your life with His grace and forgiveness. Now, I want to say something, and you listen carefully. No matter what your sin, He can forgive it if you turn it over to Him. Now, there may be people around you who won't ever believe that, but that's okay. God believes it, and He'll make you something better, something good. The wonderful truth is that this passage proclaims the touch of Jesus can be yours, can be mine, can be ours. It can be ours today, in this moment, no matter what your station in life. This woman was a nobody. In fact, she was some of those people who were around wouldn't have wiped their foot on her long dress. You know why? They were afraid they would be contaminated. No, I won't get into that sermon. No, that's another sermon. Emperor Constantine. Anybody remember who Constantine was? Now, I know you're not old enough to remember him physically. But Constantine was the emperor, the Roman emperor, who had the whole known world at his foot, with his footstool. And miracle of miracles, one day he touched Jesus and his life was changed forever. And the whole universe at that time was changed because he became a Christian. And you can be effective like that when you turn to Jesus and give your life to Him. I'm always amazed that God can use me preaching. I never get behind this desk that I'm not nervous. And I wonder if I'm going to be able to say something that will speak to anybody's heart. And I always give thanks to Him that He gives me the privilege. No matter what your background, your parents may have been unbelievers. Your mate may be an unbeliever. You may have been abused. You may have been used. You may be the object of all manner of things. But let me tell you something. When you believe on Jesus, He won't remove those things that happened to you, but He'll give you victory in spite of them. Anybody ever say amen in here? I began to wonder. Yeah. I thought maybe it was a strange word, Janice, in your vocabulary. Well, I'm going to give an invitation. Now, if that sermon's too short for you, stay around. I'll preach some more.
Amen.
Well, I think I'll preach a little more, David. Don't go away. This story declares that no matter what others may think of you, the touch of Jesus can make you well. And you can have a powerful impact on your life. This story in all the Bible declares that your sins can be forgiven. Boy, that's a miracle. In my life, I see that. Jesus didn't say, I'll make you perfect. He just simply said he promised to be with you and to help you and to help us in the world we're in. And my world is not a real tidy world. Is yours? I think it'd be nice if you just made everything perfect, especially some folks I know, don't you? Yep. Now, I wasn't looking at one of those. I'm sorry. And salvation in the midst of life's anxieties and difficulties, that's what Jesus offers this morning. Now, I pray unabashedly this morning that someone here will hear this sermon and believe its truth and accept Christ. We're going to give an invitation. Faith does work in a skeptical world. It works for all kinds of people, works in all kinds of circumstances, works for all kinds of sin. For this lady in the story, for you, for me, George Bush needed that, and he did it. And we need it. So we're going to give an invitation, and I just ask you to come. If this speaks to your need this morning and you need to come and commit your life to Christ and lay what you have, it doesn't have to be a great big bad sin. You know, there are some people who are bad sinners and some people who are bad sinners. Doesn't make any difference. If you don't know Christ, you need to know him. So I'm going to come down here and stand this morning. I normally would ask other people to come and stand, but since I'm a visitor, but I'm going to come down and stand. And in my heart, I pray that God's spoken to your heart and you have that need and you want to lay at his feet. Come, I'll be here.
Let's stand together, please. Father, we thank you for the time we've had with you this morning. We're not through yet. I would ask that as you are drawing people to yourself, that today would be that day of decision, whether it be to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, to join this fellowship, to get involved here, to just simply come forward in need of prayer, encouragement. We ask this morning that you would draw them here, that they could stand before you and come to the altar and pray, whatever it would be. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. And this morning, if you are here, one of the things we're going to be taking out into the streets of Winton this week, we're so excited about this. It was born out of our evangelism ministry, is to go where the people are that are not coming and to proclaim Jesus Christ. And we're asking this morning that if you're here and you can't answer this question, are you certain that if you died today, you'd have eternal life? God promises eternal life. And if you can't answer that question with certainty, today's that day to accept the one he was talking about, the woman who touched Christ's garment. As he said, he can do the same for you to heal you. He reigns. He reigns. He reigns. We ask now that you would come.
You paid the night. You count the stars and you call them by name. The skies proclaim God.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, We encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.